KPIX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The government shutdown is now 3 weeks in. Democrats digging in on their demand that Republicans repeal Medicaid cuts and extend health care subsidies that will soon expire, causing insurance premiums to rise for millions of Americans. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
It's not me, him, or anything political. It's that the people are in crisis. Every day they're getting these bills, these notifications of how much they're going to pay.
Trump demanding the government reopen before any negotiations. President Trump is pressing for his Justice Department to pay him roughly $230 million. Sources familiar with the matter say it would be as a settlement for investigations he faced during the Biden administration and his first term in office. Vice President J.D. Vance arrived in Israel Tuesday seeking to stabilize the ceasefire agreement. Vance reiterating that no U.S. troops would be sent into Gaza while expressing confidence in the peace plan. This is ABC News. The Department of Homeland Security is offering an explanation for a pursuit on the streets of Los Angeles Tuesday that ended with shots fired. ABC's Matt Rivers reports.
Homeland Security officials say a U.S. Marshal and a suspected undocumented immigrant with a criminal record were both shot and wounded during a targeted traffic stop. DHS officials say agents used a standard pit maneuver to detain the suspect who had escaped custody in the past. They say this time, when the man rammed a federal vehicle trying to evade arrest, officers opened fire, hitting him in the elbow, a bullet ricocheting into the hand of the U.S. Marshal. Both men were hospitalized.
Wyoming's Capitol building in Cheyenne, including the governor's office, was evacuated Tuesday morning after a suspected explosive device was found. Governor Mark Gordon was among those evacuated from a meeting near the Capitol. Authorities did not give details on what was found or if the device was rendered safe, except to say that the device appeared to be homemade. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome where it's hard to control your leg. And you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. So, Con? What broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid this studio. We'll be dealing with... Oh, sorry. This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Madison, Wisconsin. Students, government, lakes, and 92.7 WMDX.
The future for Luke Fickell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers play the number 6th-ranked Oregon Ducks Saturday night in Eugene. The Badgers are 2-5, losing 5 games in a row. Luke Fickell was asked if he knows yet if he'll be back next year at Wisconsin.
No, I don't think any of us have a crystal ball. I've never asked the question. It's not something that I can dwell upon. It's not something that I can't tell you that it's not something that doesn't you don't think about.
Chris McIntosh, the Badgers athletic director, releasing a statement saying Wisconsin remains supporting Fickell in his role as the head football coach. NFL. The Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh Sunday night. Linebacker Isaiah McDuffie on what he was most proud of in their win over Arizona.
You know, that's what we've been talking about since the start of the season. You know, just finishing throughout the entire week. That's what we emphasized, and, you know, we got the opt to finish, and we did it.
That's linebacker Isaiah McDuffie with Sports on Mike Clemens.
92.7 WMDX, Madison's real news and great conversation, and home to the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and breezy for tonight with occasional showers and a low close to 40. We'll look for more clouds for tomorrow, a pop-up shower or two possible, and still breezy, a high in the upper 40s. A return to sunshine for Thursday and Friday, a high in the low 50s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. From Indiana University canceling its school newspaper to northern Wisconsin being served by high school students, we'll discuss it with Pat Kreitler and Trigg Olson. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most, in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
92.7 WMDX, almost as addictive as your group chat.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, a producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to have you along here on a Tuesday from the old world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison, at the intersection of State and Fairchild here in Madison. Quick look outside at the Sam Davidson Street Cam Zommers. A little rain. My mom likes to say, into every life, a little rain must fall. And it was nice earlier. Went over, got some coffee at Wonder State, and now showers have taken into downtown Madison, but you know, that's part of fall. Overcast and showery once.
Yeah, I would say it's still nice. You know, it's a gentle shower. You wear a coat, you have an umbrella, or you just stand in the doorway and you're fine.
Right. Yeah. Need a little moisture. That'll be fine. So hopefully you're enjoying your day as you go throughout the day today in Wisconsin. Gonna be a great show today. Coming up at hour two, we talked about this last Friday when the news broke via the Capital Times. Great reporter Danielle DeClos is going to be here talking about her reporting. She is the enterprise and investigative reporter at the Capital Times and did this story on Department of Public Instruction in Madison and Dr. Jill Underley, who is the state school superintendent. We talked about this last week. I know our colleagues, Jane Matner and Greg Bach, along with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, spent a large chunk of time on their show on Friday talking about this as well. And if you have not read it, it's a difficult story. It's a well-written, well-researched story, but it's difficult. And it has to do with over 200 cases of teacher sexual misconduct and grooming cases in the public schools, and the fact that the Capital Times did a open records request and received this information, and the fact that many of these people who were investigated simply gave up their license in exchange for not having the investigations go further. Now, the state school superintendent refused, Dr. Jill Underley refused to, I should say declined, being part of the story, had her spokesperson talk instead, and the spokesperson said it would be a conflict of interest, quote unquote, for Dr. Underley to be interviewed. And so the article came out, and it's disturbing, certainly, and the DPI's position is that, well, we had over $600,000
in our budget request to the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee, the Budget Committee, which was denied. And if we had only had this money to have more people to investigate these things and to process them, they would have seen the light of day. I'm not here to dispute that. But for me, the disturbing part beyond, to me, there's two parts of this. A, the disturbing evidence in these accusations in this story. And then there's the, which I think is, for these purposes, the more concerning part in that Dr. Underley refused to sit for this interview. She has not spoken to media that I know of. And now there is a state assembly committee meeting on Thursday of this week in which she is being asked to testify and to just, you know, let's have a conversation about this. And thus far, we do not know whether she's going to attend that. Her lack of transparency to me is deeply disturbing. And as we've talked about on this program before, I think a good analogy in terms of how you handle things is the stewardship fund, the Nelson Knowles Stewardship Fund, the conservation program that also requested more money in the state budget and got denied. And they've launched, we've had them on this show, Nature Conservancy and other people have launched a public campaign, have been working with legislators in a bipartisan manner to say, okay, we didn't get it in the budget. How can we do a standalone bill? What is unclear, and so far Dr. Underley has not come forward about this, is if this was the major problem that obviously it is based on the Capital Times reporting, why didn't she, and look, I've been in the building, as they say, in the Capitol. I worked for the Senate Majority Leader. When you have a piece of legislation or something in the budget that doesn't get addressed or doesn't get funded, the people who are good at these things have a press packet ready to go, and you call a press conference, and you get the cameras there, and you say, look, these are the facts. These are the evidence I have. We have a major problem in this state in processing these very disturbing cases to keep our kids safe. I just went in there and asked for over $500,000 to address this, and the Republicans said no, which is their right. But I'm here to tell you what the problem is, and I'm asking for the public's help. I'm asking for bipartisan help in the legislature to find a standalone bill that the governor can sign that we can put more monies into these positions to keep our kids safe and process these cases. And Dr. Underley did not do that. I cleaned my desk this weekend, by the way. I spent four hours. Zomers is witness, right?
Yes, your efforts paid off. It is very clean now.
Thank you.
At least compared to before. No, well, it's wow. now it has a normal amount of stuff on it. Yeah, it was right. Pretty nested in before.
It was nested. But one of the advantages to having a top of desk filing system is that I have, you know, and because I don't know if it's because of my dyslexia or whatever it is, if I have an article that I'm going to read from, I read better when I have a piece of paper in my hand. So yes, I print stuff off every day. I don't just read it off my screen. Some stuff I do, but most of the stuff I print off. And one of the stories that I printed off, this is back from February of 2025. Yes, I had an article from February still sitting on my desk as of this weekend. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, headline, State Superintendent Skips Forum While Her Challengers Take Questions on Vouchers and More. And it reminded me that this is a person, Dr. Underley, who refused to debate in the election where she got reelected this spring. And it was put on in part by WISP Politics, and WISP Politics president, according to the Journal Sentinel at the time, Jeff Mayers, said he provided two dates to the campaign. Brittany Kinzer, who was the conservative, and Jeff Wright, the fellow progressive, quote, responded right away and chose February 6th. Underley said she had a conflict. Mayers said WISP Politics asked for alternative dates, but her campaign did not provide them. Underley's campaign said she was unavailable to attend because of a University of Wisconsin System Board of Regents meeting. The DPI superintendent, by virtue of their position, serves as a regent. Underley missed at least a part of the board's education meeting that began at 10:30 because she held a 10:30 press conference in Madison to discuss Head Start programs that have been unable to access funding under a freeze issued by President Trump. The Head Start programs provides, goes on to talk about Head Start. The WISC Politics Forum took place from noon until 1. Overlapping with the board's scheduled lunch break. Underley's campaign offered no clarity as to why Underley missed at least part of the Board of Regents meeting, but could not skip the board's lunch break. Her campaign referred questions about her to the DPI. The DPI said Underley participated in the press conference because it's important to share the local effects of federal government decisions. A spokesperson said the lunch break allowed the board to eat before continuing the meeting. I mean, that's a half a page in this story about the state school superintendent debate forum, simply making excuses and explaining why Underley not only didn't participate in the board meeting or the forum, but also skipped out on part of her duties of the board's or regents meeting because she scheduled her own press conference, which she could have had any time. I bring that up now because I think it's important to establish the pattern here. And by the way, when we first started this show, three years next month, Jill Underley came on this program, I don't know, 2 or 3 times. I thought it went well. And then all of a sudden, she just stopped coming on. And to my knowledge, maybe one, we asked her to come on our show last year during the state school superintendent race. And nothing, crickets. She skips the debate to get reelected to her own position. And now, not talking to reporters. And not only that, late Friday, she came out with a statement claiming that the story about how her department conducts investigations is inaccurate, and demanded a public correction on an article claiming the Department of Public Instruction had hidden its investigation of 200 cases of sexual misconduct and grooming from school staff. Quote, "The reporting is not only incomplete and misleading, it is dangerously irresponsible," unquote. "It distorts the nature of the DPI's work in this area, omits crucial legal and procedural facts, and undermines public trust in the same systems designed to protect Wisconsin students," unquote. But yet she doesn't say what that is. By the way, Capital Times editor Mark Tarrin told Senator Squares from Senator Square late Friday afternoon, quote, "We stand by our reporting and expect to have a more complete response by Monday." So Jill Underley's tactic here is to pull a Donald Trump to attack the reporter and the press. I don't know what's up with this person. I think it's disqualifying, quite frankly. We're going to have Danielle DeClos from the Cap Times on this show in hour number 2. Oh, and by the way, more news regarding the Department of Public Instruction, this time from the Wisconsin Public Radio. By the way, Capital Times, Wisconsin Public Radio, not exactly right-wing news organizations, right? Headline, audit finds nearly a quarter of Wisconsin schools missed financial deadlines. The Legislative Audit Bureau made 22 recommendations to DPI to improve procedures. The Legislative Audit Bureau is a nonpartisan part of the government, run for years by Jan Mueller, has a stellar reputation. They found about 20% of independent charter schools, 10% of schools in the parental choice program also missed the statutory deadline for submitting financial paperwork. The financial reports from schools and school districts are necessary for DPI to calculate state aid payments to ensure educational entities are financially viable and certify all districts and schools are complying with legal requirements. The Legislative Audit Bureau found something else out. I'm going to tell you what it is on the other side. And by the way, where is the concern, the criticism, the press release from Democrats in the state of Wisconsin? There is none. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talk radio for people who mute their TVs. 92.7 WMDX.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
92.7 WMDX, Madison's real news and great conversation, and home to the Todd Allbaugh Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Yeah, freedom. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. Glad to have you along. Aaron Zommers on the board. As we welcome you back in here, coming up a little bit later, going to be talking to Danielle DeClos about an hour from now, a little bit more. The Enterprise investigative reporter at the Capital Times on this story she broke last week about DPI and Superintendent Jill Underly on the over 200 teacher sexual misconduct issues and the lack of reporting thereof. And she'll be with us and we're going to ask her some of these things. Give her the opportunity, I should say, because Underly put out a rebuttal on Friday, and so we'll ask Danielle about that. But also yesterday, Wisconsin Public Radio out stating that an independent audit of the Department of Instruction, public instruction, found about a quarter of Wisconsin school district missed the deadline to file financial statements for the 2022-23 school year. Well, you say, okay, fine. I mean, not fine, but I mean, that's the district's fault. They didn't do their job. Right, correct. Don't disagree. But according to Wisconsin Public Radio, the auditors at the Legislative Audit Bureau, a nonpartisan entity, also found DPI did not begin to review reports for more than 2 months after the December 15th deadline to submit. and failed to track how the reviewing team spent its time. Auditors issued at least one financial reporting deficiency or weakness in control over financial reporting for 370 of the 421 school districts. DPI policies require schools submit plans describing actions they will take to address each deficiency. Again, whether it's the story from the Capital Times we're going to talk with a reporter about in hour two, or whether it's this story from Wisconsin Public Radio, the deeply concerning part in terms of policy, politics, and institutions is who's running the Department of Public Instruction in Wisconsin right now? I mean, it's either being mismanaged or unmanaged. And again, this is reporting from the Capital Times and Wisconsin Public Radio. Dr. Underley has a responsibility to the taxpayers of this state and to the voters of this state and the children of this state to have her posterior in a seat in a committee hearing this Thursday in the state capitol. And if she's unwilling to do that and unwilling to take questions in public, then in my opinion, she ought to tender her resignation and allow Governor Evers to appoint a replacement. And I think the runner-up of the contest, Jeff Wright, would be a great candidate. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to WCFW in Eau Claire. Gene in Eau Claire, thanks for listening. Gene, what say you?
Hello, sir, and I really appreciate your caring and that you care about our state, that you care about kids, and you're passionate, and I love you for it. But I have to say, I read the articles too, and that it was very confusing to me because there were over 200, they said, teachers, but then later they said staff, aides, substitutes, and different things that were added into this. So I'm very confused by this report. In addition to that, I think that, now it's been a while since I've been in the school system, but I think that that stuff has to be reported to the police, but, you know, when there's accusations of abuse. So I think that there needs to be more understanding of, you know, how was this handled, but they also have to be very careful for students' names, for situations, and for the teachers. So this is involved when you have sexual abuse. Let's look at the Epstein files.
Let's do that. I'm 100% on board, but don't agree or disagree that Democrats who are calling for the release of the Epstein files, and I'm not a Democrat, but I'm also calling for the release of Epstein. If anybody's going to call for the release of the Epstein files, shouldn't we also call for transparency in our own Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction for making? And we're not talking about victims' names, Gene. This is a matter of people who said, and this isn't going into the criminal realm yet, but in exchange for having internal investigations dropped, they surrendered their licenses. And there's no way, in my understanding, we'll ask the reporter, there's no way for other districts or other jobs that might involve working with kids to know why they surrendered their license. We're not talking about releasing names. We're talking about transparency so we know that people that, I mean, yeah. What are the instances, if you read the story, and I'm not going to get too graphic, but there was an adult male teacher who allegedly went on a trip with high school girls and was rubbing suntan lotion on the tops of their breasts when they had, I mean, who does that? Who in their right mind does
that?
Doesn't the public have to know if this guy surrendered his teaching license? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't there at least be the public right to know, hey, maybe don't hire this guy because he's got a problem, allegedly?
And then, too, can I add something here? Is that nobody, they should be having chaperones. They shouldn't be sending girls with a teacher like that, they should be having chaperones.
Sure.
This whole thing is bad.
But I'm up against the clock, but don't you think that Jill Underley has a responsibility to answer questions publicly about this?
Well, I hope she does, because this really needs to be open But I think we got to get the facts here.
Agreed.
On what's going on. And thank you very much for covering it, because that was very interesting to me. And why does that school district let those girls go with it?
Appreciate it. Thank you, Gina. Really appreciate it. Come on back. We're going to change gears a bit. We'll revisit this topic in hour number two. Talk about Donald Trump. Why he's crying for Argentina on the other side.
WMDX, the station your car presets warned you about. Mad City, biking through blizzards since forever. 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The government shutdown is now 3 weeks in. Democrats digging in on their demand that Republicans repeal Medicaid cuts and extend health care subsidies that will soon expire, causing insurance premiums to rise for millions of Americans. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
It's not me, him, or anything political. It's that the people are in crisis. Every day they're getting these bills, these notifications of how much they're going to pay.
Trump demanding the government reopen before any negotiations. President Trump is pressing for his Justice Department to pay him roughly $230 million. Sources familiar with the matter say it would be as a settlement for investigations he faced during the Biden administration and his first term in office. Vice President J.D. Vance arrived in Israel Tuesday seeking to stabilize the ceasefire agreement. Vance reiterating that no U.S. troops would be sent into Gaza while expressing confidence in the peace plan. This is ABC News.
The future for Luke Fickell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers play the number 6th-ranked Oregon Ducks Saturday night in Eugene. The Badgers are 2-5, losing 5 games in a row. Luke Fickell was asked if he knows yet if he'll be back next year at Wisconsin.
No, I don't think any of us have a crystal ball. I've never asked the question. It's not something that I can dwell upon. It's not something that I can't tell you that it's not something that doesn't you don't think about.
Chris McIntosh, the Badgers athletic director, releasing a statement saying Wisconsin remains supporting Fickell in his role as the head football coach. NFL. The Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh Sunday night. Linebacker Isaiah McDuffie on what he was most proud of in their win over Arizona.
You know, that's what we've been talking about since the start of the season, you know, just finishing throughout the entire week. That's what we emphasized, and, you know, we got the opt to finish, and we did it.
That's linebacker Isaiah McDuffie with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Coleman Domingo has become one of the most respected and in-demand actors in Hollywood. Variety is reporting that the Oscar-nominated actor will join the cast of Wicked for Good. That's the sequel to the 2025 smash hit starring Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. Domingo will provide the voice for the Cowardly Lion. Coleman was nominated for an Academy Award in the Best Actor category for his role in Sing Sing, a film about how prisoners in a high-security facility learn the art of acting. His other credits include Lincoln, The Color Purple, and he will appear in the upcoming big-budget films The Running Man and in the film Michael about Michael Jackson, where he will play Jackson's father, Joe Jackson. Wicked for Good comes out November 21st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 92.7 WMDX, Madison's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and breezy for tonight with occasional showers and a low close to 40. We'll look for more clouds for tomorrow, a pop-up shower or two possible, and still breezy, a high in the upper 40s. A return to sunshine for Thursday and Friday, a high in the low 50s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
The John and Gordy Show.
The FCC Gestapo is coming out to take us away.
All right. Coming in hot, huh?
I just don't want to go off on the deep end here. You know, I know I'm going to do it. I know it's going to happen. I bottled everything up last night. Oh, man. You know, the family, I apologize.
Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
Wednesday morning, we'll welcome in Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author.
And we'll keep you updated on the construction of the John and Gordy Ballroom.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is I never left you. All through my wild days, my mad existence, I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance.
Welcome back. Keep it plain. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio. I feel like, unfortunately, the windows don't open up. Wouldn't it be great? Because I could be outside on the balcony and it's blaring this song.
And sing in the rain.
Yeah, you know? Just like in the Madonna, the great Madonna there. Lady Gaga could nail this, by the way, if you want to do a remake, right? Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Zommers on the tunes there, spinning a little Madonna, Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. It's 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Also, to tease ahead, as they say, a political story. Blowing up today as well on a Trump nominee, which is even a bridge too far for Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson. Even Rojo said, no, probably can't support that. We'll tell you what that's all about in a minute. But first, and I hope our friends in the ag industry, we just got done at the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke, Ben Jarbo, and their great staff, as we do every day at the bottom of the hour. I hope my friends in the ag industry, particularly the beef industry, nobody loves beef more than me. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Wisconsin Beef Council. And right now, beef prices are at historically high costs, high prices, which for a consumer, you know, a little difficult. But for beef farmers, this is like, They struggle, and they try to get by, but you kind of live for markets like this once in a while, where you kind of make up some of those monies that you lost. Great for Wisconsin beef farmers right now. By I still owe my friends Kurt and Florcy for my portion of the steer we bought this year. I better get that taken care of quickly.
We gotta make good on that.
I gotta make good. I'm not gonna get any more beef. We went together. We bought one of the great 4-H auctions down at Greene County. We bought a quarter steer together, and Hosley Meats in New Glarus processed it. You got Richland Locker and Richland Center. You got Prem Meats in Spring Green. I mean, you got all kinds of great independent lockers, and that's where I recommend that you buy your beef if you can.
Absolutely. But, Todd needs to go see a man about a steer. That's what's happening.
That's exactly right. But here now, I hope you, if you're a beef farmer, if you're a supporter of local beef, listen up. Donald Trump was flying back on his Air Force One from Mar-a-Lago playing golf this weekend. And the reporters asked him about, it was 20 when we had Pam Yonke on the program a couple of weeks or two ago. It was 20. Now Donald Trump wants to give Argentinian farmers a $40 billion bailout to help Argentina. He was asked about it on Air Force One.
Question is, what do you have to say to U.S. farmers who feel that the deal is benefiting Argentina more than it is them,
Argentina's fighting for its life, young lady. You don't know anything about it. They're fighting for their life. Nothing's benefiting Argentina. They're fighting for their life. You understand what that means? They have no money. They have no anything. They're fighting so hard to survive. If I can help them survive in a free world, I happen to like the president of Argentina. I think he's trying to do the best he can, but don't make it sound like they're doing great. They are dying. All right? What? They're dying.
He is very concerned about Argentinian farmers. You understand? I think there's a lot of farmers in Wisconsin say, I wish he felt that way about us. Just get rid of the tariffs, and we'll be fine. We played this yesterday, but I want to play it again. It's not that long. Trump was then asked on the same trip over the weekend on Air Force One on Sunday about the beef, about what's going on, and here's his response.
With soybeans and on Argentina, you're looking to do that deal with Argentina, the bail swap. So,
I assume you're talking about beef. Yeah, to get beef prices down. The only price we have that's high is beef, and we'll get that down. And one of the things we're thinking about doing is beef from Argentina.
So he thought it was about soybeans at first, and then it changed up. So he wants to help out. In order to get beef prices down for the consumers in Wisconsin, he wants to bring in more Argentinian beef to flood the market with foreign food products to bring the prices down so that Wisconsin beef farmers get less.
Isn't that what the hat says? Make Argentina great again?
not exactly, but yeah. The A stands for America, but you're on the right track there, Summers. And by the way, you know, the soybean deal, if you just get rid of the tariffs, then U.S. Farmers could sell their soybeans to China. China's already done a back-end deal with South American farmers, some of them in Argentina, by the way. So Argentina's looking pretty good if you're a farmer in Argentina. If you're a farmer in Wisconsin, not so much. So here now, yesterday, posted on social media is the president of the Nebraska Farm Bureau. Again, Farm Bureau, not exactly your left-wing organization. Farm Bureau, pretty conservative. I mean, there are certainly Democrats involved in Farm Bureau, but this is the president of the Nebraska Farm Bureau in response to Trump saying he wants to bail out farmers in Argentina and also flood the U.S. markets with Argentinian beef.
Hello, ag friends. Hopefully your fall is going well. You know, some days you feel like you just can't catch a break in agriculture, but the cattle sector is one of the real bright spots here in the industry and certainly in Nebraska where we have a lot of mama cows. But unfortunately, we have administration that thinks that they need to lower the price of beef. President Trump on Friday actually made a statement that said we should lower the price of beef, and ultimately that's lowering the price of cattle. That's not something we need to do. I just want our members to know that Nebraska Farm Bureau is adamantly opposed to anything that would artificially lower the price of beef. We have worked hard to get our cattle market where it is. It's a supply and demand issue right now. But quite frankly, we need this bright spot here in Nebraska. So I have communicated with all of our federal delegation and let them know that we are opposed to any move that would artificially lower the price of beef cattle. They have worked that up to the leadership already today. And so stay tuned as we kind of follow this story. Hopefully we can get this tamped down. But just want to make sure that you know that I'm doing everything that I can as your president of Nebraska Farm Bureau to ensure that our beef sector here in Nebraska and the country continues to thrive. Until next time.
So there you go. There's the head of the Nebraska Farm Bureau saying politely, yeah, President Trump, you're screwing us over here. You want to flood the market here with foreign beef, which is only going to hurt our beef farmers in Nebraska, and it'd be the same thing for beef farmers here in Wisconsin. And just like we were talking about with the Jill Underly DPI story, which we're going to come back to here next hour, and you don't hear Democrats speaking out about this, either elected Democrats or Devin Remicker, the new chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. I don't. It might be nice to say we're very concerned about this, and we urge Dr. Underly to sit before a committee hearing on Thursday to answer questions. We have full confidence in her. But no, nothing, just crickets. By the same token, the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, it is a I'll say a right-leaning organization, not hard right, but not like MAGA right, but there are more people in Farm Bureau that have more Republican-leaning tendencies than Democratic. Again, not to say there aren't some Democrats who are members of Farm Bureau or some legislators who have been supportive of Farm Bureau, but based on my experience over the years, it tends to be more right-leaning. I'm looking at their website right now, Wisconsin Farm Bureau. Where is the press release from the Wisconsin Farm Bureau in basically what we just heard from the Nebraska Farm Bureau? Nothing. Crickets. Where's Republican legislators in this state, like Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz in Southwest Wisconsin? Andre Jacques in Door County. Where's the outrage from Republican Wisconsin legislators and press releases calling for Donald Trump not to flood the Wisconsin market with foreign beef? Where are the press releases from Farm Bureau and Republican legislators in this state, from Brian Arthur Schimming at the Wisconsin Republican Party, calling on Trump to get rid of these tariffs that are hurting Wisconsin farmers? Nothing. Crickets. 855-752-4842. If you want to weigh in, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Charles in Milwaukee, listening on WAUK, Waukesha, Milwaukee. Charles, thanks for listening. We'll see you.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. So I swear, I think sometimes he just talks to hear himself talk, because he mentioned that, well, we're giving them the money because they're dying. They're so basically saying that they're starving. Well, I know in third world countries, in places in Africa, and that they're starving too. But if I'm correct, didn't they take away money?
Right, USAID money, yeah.
USA, right. And Todd, I remember when I first heard this story about the $20 billion to Argentina, and I read up on it. I thought when I read up on it, it was basically this guy was doing horrible as the president, and so they were going to give him this money to try to help bail him out so he looks good in the upcoming election.
Yeah, I mean, you would think. I mean, it just makes no sense, right, Charles? I mean, they're fighting against U.S. interests on this. I mean, the Trump administration. They're clearly not putting Wisconsin farmers, ag producers, or even consumers at the forefront.
But Todd, he only cares about himself. At some point, his supporters, they will either realize it or they will sink in a boat with him. He only cares about himself. And like they always say, follow the money.
Yeah.
No, I think here will benefit him financially.
Right. Well, it's always about him. But look what he's doing in the White House right now. Tearing down the East Wing just to build his own ballroom, for goodness sake.
Yeah. My wife told me, and I'm like, what in the world? She said, I don't know if this is real or not. And yeah, could you imagine, Todd, what conservatives would be saying if Barack Obama would have did that?
Oh, my gosh.
He would have torn down part of the White House for a ballroom?
Yeah.
They would have swearing down that he was a terrorist. And they got to go in and get him. I don't understand the silence.
Yeah,
it is so much silence.
I don't get it either. People either don't want to go against their own party. They don't want to. Everybody's tribal, right? It's like, well, if they're on our side, we can't criticize it. Democrats don't want to criticize Jill Underly. Republicans don't want to criticize Donald Trump. If they belong to our tribe, got to keep our mouths shut.
No.
And that's part of what's wrong with politics today.
Yeah. People are being hurt by by people not saying anything.
Appreciate the call, Charles. Have a great day down there in beautiful Milwaukee. Come back with more calls on the other side, 855-752-4842. Know how in the White House you have the Dolly Madison room? That's right. Apparently now, a lot of people are saying the new Trump room, ballroom, will be called the Stormy Daniels Ballroom.
Balls room?
Come on back!
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Stuck between two lakes and loving every minute of it. That's Madison. Geographically unique, politically passionate, proud of our quirks. While you're trying to find parking on Willie Street or hunting takeout on State, WMDX keeps you connected to what matters most in our one-of-a-kind community. Real news and great conversation. WMDX.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different, and I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The John and Gordy Show.
Give us a jingle. What do you got for us, Dick? What do you got for us, Charles?
We have CG on the line.
Mark, what do you got for us?
We have Matt on the phone.
Joe, what do you got for us?
Hi, guys. Great show, as always. Your callers are the spice that makes your stew the most wonderful thing ever.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
Joe, thank you very much for that comment.
We have this round table, and we've got all these great listeners who call us on a regular basis and throw their 2 cents, and this is fantastic stuff.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
Welcome back to the Tall Bull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us here on a Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. Zomer's on the board spinning the tunes. Talk a little bit about Donald Trump wanting to bail out Argentinian farmers because they're dying. They're dying, Trump says. What about Wisconsin farmers? Many who will be forced out of business this year. Either because of tariffs, because the inability to find workers, because they're leaving. What about Wisconsin farmers? 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Rick, listening in Waukesha, VAUK. Rick, I'm up against the clock. If you can make it quick, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is really interesting about this Argentina. You know, Texas and the oil industry are pretty close with the beef. Where's the beef?
Right, where's the beef?
You know, have a good day.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it, Rick. Have a great day. Thanks. Bye-bye. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. A couple minutes here before the top of the hour. I want to get to this political story as well. Zomers, is this on the topic? All right, let's go quickly to beautiful Merrill, Wisconsin, to Cornell, listening on WXCO out of beautiful Wausau. We were just there last week. Cornell's in Merrill. Cornell, welcome to the program. What say you?
Yeah, well, you're talking about the Argentina farmers, but I'm quite upset that, well, Trump, he shouted at Zelensky, and he's not giving him any help. But I just want to mention on the farmers, Kalen Robertson made a documentary. He's a 27-year-old independent reporter in Ukraine on the front lines. And he had this documentary. It's on YouTube called The Farmers of Kherson. And they're just killing the farmers. They want to plant. They want to grow. And Trump never condemned this. It's really a horrible situation out there. And he made this documentary, and we really have to help Ukraine, the farmers and all of Ukraine, because we signed the Budapest Memorandum to protect Ukraine. And I was out there at the rally, the No Kings rally, and it was a great turnout. We had even Captain America on a skateboard going down the road.
Nice.
You know, no, 6'1", he was about 6'1", and I walked through the crowd with my posters, and also I'm really upset with Trump because he should be helping Ukraine. There's been 700 children killed, 13,000 civilians killed in apartments, and it's really quite upsetting that I hope we call in for these Tomahawk missiles. He's refused the Tomahawk missiles too,
right,
President Zelensky, but
appreciate the call, Cornell. I'm up against the clock, but I appreciate your call up there, beautiful Merrill. Yeah, we haven't had time to get too deep into Ukraine, but you're absolutely right. I agree that Zelensky was in Washington last week, and Trump basically crapped on him and said, you should settle with Putin now and let Putin keep all the land that he has now. And it's disturbing, to say the least. We'll see what happens this next summit over in Europe. Zomers.
Meanwhile, Argentinians are dying. You have no idea how bad it is, right. Trump says.
That's what Trump says. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I get to this quickly. We finally found someone Ron Johnson can no longer vote for a nominee. This, according to Politico, who broke the story. Paul Ingrassa, President Donald Trump's embattled nominee to lead the Office of the Special Counsel, told a group of fellow Republicans in a text chain the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday should, quote, be tossed into the seventh circle of hell, unquote, and said that he has, quote, unquote, a Nazi streak, according to a text chain viewed by Politico. Ingrassa, who has a Senate confirmation scheduled for a hearing scheduled for Thursday, made the remarks in a chain with a half dozen Republican operatives and influencers, according to the chat. Quote, MLK Jr. was the 1960s George Floyd, and his quote-unquote holiday should be ended and tossed into the seventh circle of hell where it belongs, unquote, Ingrassa wrote in January of 2024. Goes on to talk about more used an Italian slur for black people, which I will not repeat here on the air, but says that these holidays honoring anybody other than whites, every quote, every single one needs to be eviscerated, unquote. Politico interviewed two people in the chat, granted them immunity after they expressed concern about personal and professional repercussions. One retained the messages and showed the text chain in its entirety to Politico, which independently verified the number listed on the chain belongs to Ingrassa. The person said he came to forward it because he wants, to, quote, the government to be staffed with experienced people who are taken seriously, unquote. The second person has since deleted the chain and didn't recall specifics about it, but did confirm the discussions took place. Paul and Ron Johnson yesterday came out and said, nope, can't vote for that. So congrats. Congrats to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. We finally found a red line. Something that apparently Ron Johnson will not. Apparently, when it's blatant in a text confirmed by Politico, Ron Johnson said that's a bridge too far. So far, as of last check, 3 hours ago or so, Paul Ingrassa is still scheduled to be voted on. So, as they say, There's that. It's a fire hose of information. You understand, Zomers?
It really is.
We could do a half an hour on that, right?
We could. There's a lot to talk about
there. There's a lot to talk about. All right, coming up in hour two, a Wisconsin fun fact for you. Also, what's worse, trying not to sneeze or trying not to yawn. And at the bottom of the next hour, we will retake another look at this story on Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction Superintendent Jill Underly, the story by Danielle DeClos, Enterprise and investigative reporter at the Cap Times, will be here with us. The reporter will, and we'll talk about this more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Tuesday, October 21st, across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The government shutdown's now 3 weeks in and no signs of it ending anytime soon. Democrats digging in on their demand that Republicans repeal Medicaid cuts and extend health care subsidies that will soon expire, causing insurance premiums to rise for millions of Americans. And SNAP food benefits may end for many Americans at the beginning of November.
President Trump says he won't meet with Democrats until they first reopen the government. This shutdown now tied for the second longest ever. The longest ever, 35 days during President Trump's first term.
ABC's Mary Bruce. President Trump is pressing for his Justice Department to pay roughly $230 million as a settlement to him for investigations he faced during the Biden administration and his first term in office. Late Tuesday, federal agents, including ICE, launching a crackdown in New York City's Chinatown. Multiple people detained. This just hours after Homeland Security officials and a suspected undocumented immigrant were both shot and wounded in a targeted traffic stop in Los Angeles. This is ABC News. A new study.